The almost encouraging Religion Dispatch's headline reads, "Vainglory Days, a foremost expert on religious violence offers clues to how QAnon might end." Written by Dr. Mark Juergensmeyer, it draws on the author's lifetime of expertise on global religion and religiously motivated violence. Mark, it's been a while since the last time you were on the show. I'm really glad to be able to welcome you back on State of Belief Radio.
Oh, my pleasure. I look forward to our conversation.
Well, it's the very outrageousness of QAnon rhetoric that makes understanding its adherents so impossible. What makes it so unshakably believable to those who buy into it?
Well, one of the people who have analyzed this is somebody who creates computer games. And he says the formula of QAnon is based on computer games, where you don't discover things outright. You're just dropped hints. In QAnon, they're called drops. So you get little bits of clues. It's almost like a treasure hunt. So as you kind of put things together, and of course, this is not done randomly at all. There's already a design behind it. They know what you're supposed to find and how it's supposed to lead. But when you're doing it, when you put these little clues together, you feel like you're discovering it yourself. And that's a remarkable thing. You then internalize knowledge. You're looking at, it may be a wacky view of the world, but if you begin to put these little pieces together and you discover, my God, this is what's really going on. And as extraordinary as it may seem, it just unearths a whole different reality that you had no idea that existed, and you discovered it yourself. And that's why the QAnon knowledge is almost like Gnosticism. It's almost like the hidden knowledge. Those who have ears, let them hear. It is in a sense like a discovery of religious knowledge, some secret trove of information. But more than a trove of information, it's a worldview. It's a whole perception of the way in which our reality is being controlled.
I still can't understand how this stuff gains credence in religious communities and congregations.
Well, for one thing, there's an eerie similarity between the apocalypticism, the end times of QAnon, and the apocalypticism and the end time of millenarian evangelical Christianity. It's not the rapture and the cataclysm described in the book of Revelation, but it's the storm. It's called the storm. There is some cataclysmic moment to which this is all leading. And at that moment, then the Savior will return. It's not the familiar Savior of Jesus Christ. It's Donald Trump. And he will return in his second term of office. And then finally, these evildoers will be banished. They'll be set down to Guantanamo to be banished forever in prison, or they'll be executed. They'll be dispatched, and the world will reign in peace, which is why the second term of Donald Trump had to come into being. It was simply required by this kind of cosmology. And the notion that he didn't win was obviously a fake, was obviously rigged. It couldn't possibly be true. So you can begin to understand that kind of vehemence with which the adherents of this, who now have internalized this, they've discovered this truth as such a solid, unshakable truth that it's unimaginable that anything could differ so wildly than their belief, because it is a kind of religious belief. It is does parallel messianic, millenarian, evangelical Christianity.
Mark, you have deep expertise in religion and violence around the world, and I was going to ask you if there was anything parallel to QAnon, and you've already said, yes, it is, and I'm surprised by that, but interested in you knowing that.
Yes. I had a theological training before I became a political scientist, so I've always been interested in religion and politics and the intertwining of the two. And as you know, over 30 years now, I've been looking at movements of religious violence and religious nationalism. Right. And many of them follow the same kind of trajectory as QAnon. Let's take ISIS. They have the most fantastic kind of apocalyptic narrative about the end of the world and demons. And now the demons are Shia and Jews and Americans. But nonetheless, yeah. You have a similar kind of notion that the world is controlled by an evil cabal. Mm-hmm. And yet ISIS has now been defeated, at least militarily. Mm-hmm. And so in this book that I'm showing you a picture of it because it just came out. This is my first copy. It just arrived 2 days ago.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. And it should be available soon. It's called When God Stops Fighting, How Religious Violence Ends. Mm-hmm. And so I've looked at the way in which movements like this end around the world, and including ISIS. And I've spent years now talking with militants who are very closely associated with the movement, including those now in prison in northern Iraq who were fighters for ISIS, and to try to see how they have viewed the ending of the movement. And most of them are reconciled with the fact that it's ended, even though they still have this deep longing for a caliphate. They still have, you know, the idea that maybe someday the caliphate would return again. Mm-hmm. But they're willing to accept the reality that the movement is over. Mm-hmm. And that, it seems to me, is a parallel for how QAnon might end, a day mm-hmm. in which members of it might grudgingly accept the reality that the rest of us see around us, even though maybe somewhere in their hearts they still believe, yeah, QAnon may be true, it may happen, but maybe not right away.
I want our listeners to understand how QAnon may fade away as you describe it in the article.
There's several things, and this is where it would fit into a pattern that is similar to these other movements that I've studied, and how their own kind of views of cosmology and a great war and a great turmoil and their own conspiracy theories might dissipate. And there are really three major factors. One is internal dissension, where they're infighting within the movement, where leaders are discredited for one reason or the other, and people began to be disillusioned with the unity and the very frail human character of the leadership that they have in their movement. And we're already seeing this in QAnon just this last week. Michael Flynn now has been accused of being perverse, and right. other members are seen to be pilfering money that was supposed to be used for legal purposes and put in their own pockets. Donald Trump himself, of course, has been accused of that. And so as this kind of the image of the strong leadership begins to fade and infighting begins, that's one way and people become to lose faith in the movement. Mm-hmm. The other is simply to be reminded that there is another world, that people see things differently, and that you can't just go around killing people without impunity, and you can't launch an insurrection against the government of the United States without being legally accountable. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that now with the January 6th trials, and even the QAnon shaman has just received 41 months in prison for his role of sitting in the seat of Mike Pence in the Senate chambers and as if he was the king of the world. So reality is another kind of boundary. Yeah. And the third and maybe most meaningful is to see some hope, to see a way out, to see a face-saving way out, because many people who have taken on the QAnon ideas have already suffered a certain amount of scorn from their friends and neighbors and family who think they're crazy. And they persist because they think they've found a real truth. How do you retreat from that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's very difficult to one day say, oh, you're right. I was foolish. All of this is wrong. It's much more easy to try to find another way of thinking about this. And I think the simple way, since so many of the QAnon followers are already evangelical millenarian Christians, is to go back to the apocalypse of the book of Revelation, mm-hmm. to go back to the notion that storm that they're talking about really is the rapture, and the savior who will come is not Donald Trump, but it's the old savior that they've been believing in for years, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so they're able to re-religionize, in mm-hmm. a sense, these beliefs, I think it'd be a way of moving back into a more acceptable understanding of the world and a more acceptable kind of religiosity, because QAnon in some ways is an alternative religion. Mm-hmm. And they may discover that their old-time religion really is good enough for them.
So a loss of faith is the antidote to a misguided faith.
Yes, a loss of faith and maybe a recovery of faith at the same time.
Okay. As I read you, there's not a lot non-believers can do to effectively challenge false beliefs. That's got to come from the believers themselves. So is there anything the rest of us can do at all to help move this process forward for all of our sake?
That's a good question, and you're right. Simply to argue with people makes them defensive, and because, after all, they have this internalized knowledge, and so it's really futile to try to argue with them on the basis of what they believe. But I think we can certainly remind them of reality. That is, remind people of how the rest of the world looks at the rest of the world, and how there are limits on actions in a civil society and what is permissible and what is not permissible in order simply to make the society function. Those kind of reminders, I think, are appropriate and helpful, and they help to bring reality into their vision of the world. Mm-hmm. But simply arguing with them on the basis of belief never works. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work, by the way, with ISIS either. A lot of the counterterrorism efforts have been to try to convert people back to a normal form of Islam and not this extremist form that ISIS believes in. Mm-hmm. And that never works because they believe that they have the truth. Mm-hmm. What does work is an acceptance of reality that then allows them to imagine this alternative version of Islam, this alternative reality, but in a kind of idealistic way, in a metaphorical way, in a legendary way, in a way that doesn't intrude on reality and cause people harm or to others or themselves.
Mark, you go a lot deeper on all of this in your newest book. What do you focus on in When God Stops Fighting, How Religious Violence Ends?
Well, I focus on how people in the movements perceive it. In other words, all of my research is based on conversations, going out and talking with people, not interviews in the sense of interrogating them or having a whole set of questions, because often I don't know what questions to ask because I'm trying to get inside their world, try to understand the world as they see it. And that means reading what they've written and talking with them in a way that just lets them open up. And so I've begun to see how they've seen ISIS as an alternative reality, or the other movements that I've studied, the Moro movement in the Philippines, the Khalistan movement in the Punjab, and this is also true of QAnon, how people see it from within and take it as wacky as we might think those ideas are, but they seem to adherence, the believers, as credible because they've found these things out themselves. And the more extreme it appears to us, the more certain they are of it, because that they've discovered this deep truth, and it scares them as well as us. Mm. And so they want to warn us because they've seen this truth. Now, it's not a truth. It's a fiction that's been created by the agile kind of manipulation of these hints, these clues, these drops in QAnon terms, but appears to be true. And so we have to respect that, back off, at the same time letting people know that they have limits. I'd say if we have friends and family who are QAnon supporters, love them, accept them, tell them we still love them, make clear we don't believe this, make clear that we think that there's another reality. Maybe suggest that, you know, the vision given in the Bible is still a good vision to rely on and not QAnon. But don't try to argue with them. Don't dismiss them. After all, they're also children of God, and I think redeemable, and the movement can be redeemed.
So ultimately, you are optimistic that this can fade away, and if so, isn't it likely something even more extreme might appear in its place?
Yes, of course. we just got to move from one thing to another. And extreme times lead to extreme religion. And we are in an extreme time, a lot of dramatic social changes and a kind of eruptions of the economy and politics and social identity, in part caused by globalization. Because now there are the challenges of old ways of thinking about our secure nationalistic identities and our economic roles, and all of this has been upended in the last several decades. So these are challenging times, and it is understandable and always has been historically that in moments of social change, there are extreme movements that come and capture people's imagination, seen as a kind of harbor in a storm, to use actually QAnon's term. To some kind of refuge. So it's understandable. And some become religions. Some endure for a long time. And that is, of course, one possible trajectory. But more likely, and this is certainly the case in all the movements that I've studied, after a while they dissipate. And they dissipate for the reasons that I give, and the leadership is not strong enough to really carry the trust and faith of the believers very long. People grow up, people change, they're tired of fighting with their neighbors and family over these issues. And they begin to see that there are other ways of looking at reality and that they've been very limited. So inevitably, it seems to me, these movements do change. It's just a question of when, how long, and whether we have the patience to let them endure until they are completed.
Dr. Mark Juergensmeyer is Distinguished Professor Emeritus of Sociology and Global Studies at the University of California at Santa Barbara. Among his important books is God at War, A Meditation on Religion and Warfare. And next month, University of California Press is publishing his latest, When God Stops Fighting, How Religious Violence Ends. We'll link to Mark's Religion Dispatches article exploring how QAnon might end from stateofbelief.com. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.